Today we're looking at stewardship. And I like to think of it in the aspect of that we are as gracious, whatever it is, gracious in giving as receiving, as gracious in receiving as giving. Because some people are good givers, but terrible receivers. And some people are great receivers, but they don't want to give. All right? So the challenge is for the balance of what, you see, how can God bless us if we won't let go of what we already got? So if we don't share what we already have, how are we going to get more? And if our hand's always open and giving and it's always coming into our life, well, how do we give it away? So it's a balance of being able to be gracious in giving as we are receiving, be gracious in receiving as we are in giving. And so if you're a giver, it's more if you're giver, it's hard to receive. And if you're a receiver, it's hard to give. That's the personality. So we generally are one way or the other. We're not doesn't seem like people are 50-50. I'm perfectly balanced in all that I do, you know. And that's that person. Yeah, I'm special too. And that person doesn't exist, you know. So we are one extreme or the other or some variation of it. And generally, what sticks out are the individuals that are extremely greedy, who are always in need, and no matter what they have, it's never enough. And then when you find out what they have it all stashed, hoarded, things like that. But anyhow, that's just the way it some people are. So the challenge then is for us to look at this idea of generosity. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Central truth, Christians are to be generous. Luke 21. Luke 10 and Philippians 2. He also saw a poor widow, but put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of the poverty, put in all that she had to live on. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Philippians 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made a human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God exalted him on highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. So when we think of stewardship and we think of generosity, What does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to be generous?
Give easily.
Give easily? I like easily give. No. Just kidding. Give easily. What else? Generous. What is generous? A person who is generous.
Unselfish.
Unselfish. One for the guys. See, they've been fishing and they.
Outgoing.
What else? Anything else? Generous.
Above and beyond.
Yeah. Two for the guys. Whoa. Okay. So above and beyond. So we have an idea then of being a generous individual. Now, what are we to be generous with? Well, you know, if I would just win the lottery, I would give 10% to the Lord. If I would, you know, okay, but what are we to be generous with? What? Pardon? Okay, but the key word is our. We can only be generous with what we possess. You know, I had just like that, you know, during the offering, reach up and get the wallet of the person in front of you and give like you've always wanted to. Okay, you know. Generally, when we think of being generous, we need to think of it in the context of what we already have. So are we generous with what we already have? That's the question. And how generous are we to be? And should I give everything? Should I give everything I have so that some needy person will be better off and I won't be? See, there's a challenge in all of this, but the challenge is the balance. And that we are to be gracious in receiving. You know, sometimes we're not blessed because we refuse to receive. And sometimes we're not blessed because we refuse to give. So who determines that? You do. We do. So I determine how much, how great, whatever the blessing is in my own life. And where do we draw the line, and when do we stop giving? When do we stop doing what we're doing? Or do we not stop? Do we just continue to... people call it the law of sowing and reaping, and that you will get according to what you have sown. And I agree and I disagree that you cannot sow wheat and expect to harvest corn. So the law of sowing and reaping the law of sowing and reaping is that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we are looking at stewardship then from the idea of what, again, what we own, how much we're going to sow, and what we're going to give or not give. Now, most of the time, whenever we think of stewardship, we think of what we don't have. Sorry, but a lot of people, not everybody, but Again, this is what we do have and what we don't have. Let's do it that way. So what do we possess? And we were talking about that a little earlier. We have our life, our time, our talents. Let's see, what else? Anything else here? And personality. You thought I was just going to talk about money. See, stewardship is the total package. You're to tithe on your personality. Okay, we're bankrupt already, huh? But you see, it's not true. Our personality is who we are, and each of us have a responsibility to give of what we have. And to give it unselfishly because of who we are in our relationship with Christ. So if we have the right relationship and the right understanding of our relationship with Christ and the right understanding of the scriptures that God has placed in our own mind and heart, our own personalities, and how that what we've done with our life, you know, how are we investing it or how are we going to multiply the value of what we have and who we are as an individual. Yeah, stewardship is a wise steward. Well, the scripture talks about how that, the Bible says your life is not your own. All right? It belongs to God. So therefore, we are going to give account of our life to God when it's all over. So when life's all over, we're not going to go to God and say, well, God, this is what I did with my life because this is what I thought was because this belongs to me. And you see, it doesn't matter if I sin because I'm not hurting anybody but myself. But the idea of stewardship is that my life is not my own, and whenever I hurt myself, I'm actually hurting God and what God's intent for my life is. So whenever I do wrong, when you hear people say, well, I'm just doing it and it doesn't matter because it's my life, I can do with it as I please. So therefore, they are not a steward of their life to God. They think of themselves as an owner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas we don't have a full understanding of that now. I've always thought, too, once we stand in front of God, he won't have to say a word, and we won't have to say a word, and you'll know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's not there to condemn, but you, like you said, you'll know what you didn't do or what you should have done.
That's like a lot of people say, when I get there, I'm going to ask him this, I'm going to ask
him
this.
Yeah.
You're not going to say that.
Yeah. You're not going to say a thing when you stand before God because it's already there. I had this one friend who told me they want to be buried with their list. So when they get to heaven, they're going to pull it out and say, okay, God. I was like, I don't think so, but you can be buried with your list if you want. But so as we think of this, and as being a wise steward then, a wise steward is recognizing the value of our life. Because if you don't value what you have, you won't value what you get. See, if you don't value what you already possess, how is more going to change anything? So, if you know, if you don't value your time, more time isn't going to change anything. If you don't value your finances and what, you know, and be wise stewards of it, how is more going to change anything? You see, so if we don't value what we have, then adding to it won't change. So if we place a value on our life, our time, our talents, our personality, if we put a value on these things, we will then do our best to develop the value of our life. And developing our value is developing our work of service to God in each of these things. So as we develop who we are as a person, we find then we become better stewards of what God has planted within us. So what has God planted in our life? Yeah. What are our time? We all have time. It's sad to say, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And what we do with it is up to us. You know, what are we going to do with it? We all have talents. We all have things that are unique to us as individuals. How are we going to develop them? We all have a personality. How are we going to develop it? You know, how are we going to develop the strengths of our personality and overcome the weaknesses of our personality? Because every personality has strengths and weaknesses. You know, we could use the excuse, well, that's just the way I am, take it or leave it. And what does that say? It means I'm not changing, and if you want to be around me, you change. So we see these things as being in place. So as I was thinking of this, stewardship, C-W-R-D-S, begins with God. Stewardship begins with God, because He is the wise owner who has placed it within our hands. So God has given to us who we are as an individual. He has given us our time, our talent. While you were yet in your mother's womb, He formed you. He knew you. Your days were set, as it were, in motion before you were ever born. We're not talking about inability to choose. It's just that God knows the choices we're going to make. He knows where we're at. So God put all this in place. And so our stewardship begins with God, that God has placed us in our lives. And then we choose how we're going to develop this person that God has given us. And it goes with the idea in my thinking, it goes with the idea that our body houses our life. And when the body is gone, the life continues. So what have we done with the life within the house? It's kicking the people in front of you. Yeah. See, it's that one's for you. Yeah. Well, no, that one belongs to you. It doesn't fit me. We'll just pass it back. So what have we done? You know, so our body is, you know, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body. But what have we done with the life that God has given us? So God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. So if God has given us a measure of faith, what have we done with our investment with faith in our life, in our time, our talent, and our personality? If God has given us a measure of faith, how have we used that faith for the development of our life? Oh, I could never do that. I took what I was and I buried it. And whenever I buried it, because I knew you God, you reap where you don't sow, and you know, you're just kind of a nasty guy. And so therefore, I took what I was, and you get back what you gave me. So you'll be happy. And the answer is not. Get away from me, because I don't even know you. So, what have we done with our faith? And our faith is, how do we develop our life? You know, in the class that I'm taking, it's like you have to read what other people post. You know, they have discussion boards. So you have to read what some people post. And I read this one, and I asked my wife to come in and read it. And either they're from another country and just learning the English language, or I don't know how they got involved in, because they can't write. You know, they have no punctuation, no sentence structure. And, you know, it was very, extremely, extremely poor. And either, like I said, maybe they're intelligent and from another country and just getting here, or they have a very low mentality. And no one had responded to their blog that they were writing. So, of course, I did. But I wanted them to, you know, and they said that about how that God was with them. And that was the only positive thing I saw in the whole couple paragraphs that they had written. So I took that, and I said, well, I'm sure that you've tried to explain a lot of things in a brief period of time and lost perspective of really what you were trying to say, something like that. But the most important thing is that God, you know, that God has a purpose for your life, and that God has, you know, what God has begun in you, He will complete. And so maybe, you know, being in college and writing is not your forte. You know, I didn't say that, but I mean, but the idea is that God has a purpose for you, even if it isn't in this type of a class setting. God has a purpose for your life. And for me, I've never had faith in my ability to take tests and to class settings. So I got an A in the last test, I had help. You are allowed to open book test. Open book test. I used a book, you know, and the one that I missed, they had two different answers. The answer in one paper that was passed, that you printed off the internet from the class, was right, and the book, it was wrong. So I used the paper that got it wrong, so I emailed the professor and said, you know, I think you're wrong. No. No, I just said, you know, which answer is correct. That's basically what I said. But what type of faith do we have in our life? Do, you know, I've blown it, I've done this, I've done that. You know, when does God say you're no longer to have faith in what He has given you? Your time. Oh, I'm busy, I have this, I have that. What is our faith in our time? Our time is that God will give us the ability to have wisdom, to put it together, manage our time correctly. Our talents. There isn't a talent that doesn't have to be nurtured. There isn't a talent that doesn't have to be developed. Wednesday night, I was sitting on the stage at the baccalaureate, and I'm sitting there with the students. They wanted me to sit, you know, every other year you just set off to the side or sit down in the audience, and then when it's time for you to speak, you go up and behind the pulpit. But this year, they wanted you to sit there on the platform with them. There was another teacher and myself and all the other students. And I'm thinking, it's been a long time since I've sat with a graduating class. And I didn't tell them it was 1967 that I graduated from high school. And I never thought in a million years, I never thought I would ever be in a platform and addressing students and addressing, you know, parents and so on at a baccalaureate or things like that. But the talent, you know, I was never a speaker. Maybe I still am not, but I like to do it, and hopefully it accomplishes something. And I saw two people this morning. Next Sunday I'm preaching on what I preached at baccalaureate. So, David, maybe I already spoke it here. I don't even know. Conquering the giants with David and Goliath and the stone. I gave it something like that. Did I do that? Did I?
Okay, do it again.
Can I do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, might not have heard it. Okay. But anyhow, I had two people this morning from breakfast and so on that told me stopped and said, I still have your stone. I didn't give a stone for that one, though. I know I didn't, because I've given stones, did I? Yeah. About that big around? Yeah, the stones, huh? Oh, well. Good. Oh, well, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll come up with another one then. But anyhow, conquering the giants. Yeah, we have different giants. But anyhow, but the idea is that how do we have faith in our talents to be able to develop them? To be able to speak or develop our personality. You know, we're not stuck in the rut of this is who I am, get used to it. You know, if you don't like my apples, don't shake my tree. that type of mentality. And, we just can't do that. We've got to recognize there are good qualities of our personalities and bad. So what do you invest? What do you invest in that there is no return? Is there anything that you invest in that there is not a return? Now, we know the stock market, bottomed out and lost lots of money, but we put things in there and expecting an investment. But what do we invest in that we know that there's no return? And the challenge is for us that God has a purpose, like the missionaries who were in China, and they spent an entire lifetime and never had one convert. But that, because that culture was not accepting of foreigners. And it wasn't until after their death that the culture began to accept what they were teaching, and they were a number of converts. And from that missionary work, though there's a Christian work going on in that part of China from those missionaries, and they were killed for their faith. So, yeah, but you see, that's where investment with no return is, that if we don't bother to change or try to change or try to look at our time, talents, personality, our life, if we don't try to see these things as things that will grow and develop, so what if I fail? That's still okay. See, investing with no return is not even trying. Investing with no return is giving up. Giving up, giving in, and falling out. And, stewardship is that we continue to invest in what God has given us and in His kingdom. And of course, finances is part of that. Our financial investment is that we are looking at our personality, talents, time, and life, and that we are all wise stewards of our time and of our finances. And if our finances are not in order, then we're not going to have other things in order. So, our finances are very much a part of our stewardship. But, how much do we have to invest? In the scripture, it talks about the widow with two mites. The rich man casting his gifts into the treasury. And, you know, everybody's impressed with how much the rich man gave. And Jesus was saying, well, the woman who gave the two mites or the two coins worth less than a penny gave more than the man who threw in the bundle. And, you know, so God is going to honor our faithfulness to him and honor that provision that he has for our lives. And so as we give out of what we have, we are trusting God with the rest so that he is going to... Now, if we give and say, okay, God, it's your responsibility, you know, make me wealthy. No. We give from a perspective that God is going to be involved in all of these parts of our life. So even our finances, you know, I remember one guy sued the church to get his money back. Because the preacher said, if you give, God will increase your income. And he proved that he didn't make more that year than he did the year before, and he wanted his money back. And he won. So, but the finances part is that if we are going to increase in our financial income in our life, we have to be willing to look at our life, our total package, and how are we going to change that God can continue to bless us. Sometimes he'll bless us right where we're at. Sometimes he'll move us. Sometimes he'll change us. Sometimes he'll change the place we work or whatever. But the idea is that if the whole thing is an investment, not just our finances, but the whole person, the whole thing, you and I. So stewardship then is a complete package, our total life. And if we focus just on one aspect of our life and say, well, it's your talents that you've got to tithe or, you know, recognize. No, it's the whole thing, personality. I can work on my talents, you know, until I'm blue in the face, but if I got a terrible personality and I ain't changing, I don't care what you say, if you don't like me, that's tough. But I'm working on my talents. You know, God didn't bless me, and I gave to the church. You know, what happened? It didn't work the whole package, you know? So God is working the whole package. Okay, that's the introduction. So all that we have is an investment in God's kingdom. Everything we are is an investment in the kingdom of God. Our relationships, what is the love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, neighbor as yourself. I can do that God stuff, but ain't touching my neighbor. What is it about the neighbor that rubs your personality the wrong way? And, you know, sometimes the personality is that person needs to change. Not necessarily you. Sometimes you need to change. Sometimes we need to stick up for what is the right thing and be bold. And sometimes we need to see, maybe be a little loving and more loving and kind. But you see, that's why no one can come to you and say, you know what you need? No, we need to allow, as we put this stewardship in action, we need to allow the Word of God to touch our life. Because the disciples were impressed with the rich man and not with the widow, the woman who put in the less than a penny. And the Good Samaritan, you know, he's on the road and he finds the guy who's beat up and left for dead. And, you know, the priest and the Levite, the guys who were supposed to be concerned, didn't have time for him, but a Samaritan, the despised individual, he was concerned, took care of him, put him on his own donkey, took him and paid for his stay at the inn. And did you know that there is a Good Samaritan inn on the road from Jericho to from Jerusalem to Jericho. Still there. And anyhow, the disciples would have, you know, looked at it one way. And this is, I guess, and this is, I guess, the challenge for myself. How often do we see things just a certain way, and that's all we know? And sometimes we ain't right. Sometimes we're just not right. And how do we know when that time is? And because sometimes we have to stick to our guns and say, this is the truth. And I cannot deviate from it. And sometimes we have to say, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe I do need to look at this differently. And each one of us is responsible for that stewardship of growing and developing and changing. And sometimes we need to change, and sometimes we need to be strong and steadfast, unmovable in our faith. And sometimes we need to know when it's time to say it's okay. You know? Stewardship. Okay, we're going to take up an offering of time, talent. How much time are you going to give to the church? How much time? But you see, it's more than just giving time to the church. It's giving time for God in your daily life. Giving time to develop your talents. Giving time to develop your personality. To make your life better, not bitter. It's all part of the stewardship. Father, thank you for blessing us and giving us and helping us to be wise stewards of what you have placed in our hands. For ultimately, Lord, we are in control of what we allow you to do in us. So, God, we ask you to guide us, guide our faith, guide our thoughts, guide your word as it's placed within us. And we ask you, Lord, to do this in the name of our Savior, a name that is above every name, and a power that is above all power, your name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.